over to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and 2 Timothy 2, 2. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, and 2 Timothy 2, 2. I want to speak on a subject entitled, Faith Has a Witness. We're continuing in this series on faith, and I really believe that God has really been setting some great foundation, reminding everyone of the importance of living by faith, walking by faith, and having faith in God. And then also giving new revelation to those who may needed to hear something from the Lord on faith. Because, you know, the enemy wants everyone in the body of Christ not to have any faith at all. Doesn't want anybody to know that faith will bring things to pass in your life that if you don't have faith, it will not come. And so I want to read this to you, these scriptures. I'll read both scriptures to you from Hebrews 12, 1 and 3 and 2 Timothy 2 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. I think that's really important when we see that and we see the scriptures of how it's actually read and what goes on there. But 2 Timothy 2:2 says something that is really unique, and it's going to be a beautiful sewing together of scripture here in a moment. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. That was the first part of the first one there. And then it says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Then in verse 3, it says this, which I included 1 and 3 together because of this one verse here. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to speak on three things today that I think that will change. Matter of fact, let me rephrase that. I know if you listen and open up your heart, it'll change the very way you look at faith in your heart, in your life. It'll change it. Number one, the witness of faith. Jesus Christ is our ultimate witness of our faith, because our faith is in him. And he is the faithful one of Israel. That's what the Bible calls him. He literally sees everything that we do every day of our life. He knows the thoughts, the intents of our heart. He literally separates the bone and the marrow, and he separates the soul and the spirit. Why? Because his word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. You'll find that scripture there. But however, we have to understand that Jesus looks at everything that we do. The Bible says in Hebrews 7 and 25 that he is forever interceding for us. He's always praying for you and I. And he's able to save all those who come to God through him. The Bible declares in the book of Romans that when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. When we were yet in darkness, he died for us, in other words. He cares so much about us. And he said something to the disciples in a tremendous moment of silence. They were in awe. A big storm. Jesus is asleep. They wake him up. They're freaking out, modern day terms. They're like, we're going to die. You know, it's like some churches, you know, you go into, everybody thinks they're going to die. You know, there's no, you know, it's just, oh my God, we're going to die here. You know, this is crazy. They just got to wake up Jesus. And then they need to wake up what he said to them. They said, look, he calmed the wind. He calmed the storm. He stopped everything. Look at us, great. He said, what do we need to know here? And I'm paraphrasing, of course. What do we need to know? And he simply said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Stop putting your faith in people. Put your faith in God. It's better to trust in God than to put your trust in horses and chariots. It's a biblical term because in those days they didn't have BMWs and Mercedes and Lexus. It was horses and chariots, friend. They didn't have tanks. They didn't have jets that flew and all these other drones up there. They didn't have all that stuff. It was horses and chariots. And when they went into battle, they would trust on who had the best horses, who had the greatest chariots. If you just for a moment reflect with me, when Egypt came after Israel after releasing them after all those years of slavery, not the small amount, 400 years of slavery, releases them. God hardens Pharaoh's heart after they left for a day. Go get them. He goes after them. He brings the best of his best. He brought 25,000 chariots, 45,000 horsemen, 17,000 of his best soldiers to go after 2.5 million people. These people were getting away from slavery, getting free from bondage, and here comes the one who held them in slavery, and here comes the one that wanted to keep them in bondage. Are you getting the spiritual picture here? When you were delivered out of your sin and delivered out of this world, and you gave your heart to the Lord, and you started to walk in the direction God called you to walk, the enemy comes after you with his best to assault you. If you look into the Amalekites, when Israel was traveling and the Amalekites came to fight against them, they were hitting the rearward of the Israelites where the weakest were. They were there and they were not the strongest warriors up front. They were the weakest, and the Amalekites started in. And when Moses saw that, another spiritual concept I want you to gain here before I really preach is this. Is that literally, when Moses saw that, he went up on top of the hill, and he looked, and he saw, and he began to worship God. And when he worshiped God, the Israelites, even in their weakest moments, were beating the Amalekites. But when he got tired, he had to put his hands down, and Aaron and Ur came up, and on either side lifted his hands up. Now, they could have built little elbow rests for him, you know, and had it up there like that, and he could have said, thank you, you know, do you want something to drink? Do you want me to go get you some popcorn or anything like that? Do you need a pizza? Do you want some chips and dip? No, they held it. They joined together. So there's another thing. When we see someone worshiping and drawing the power of God, and we see that there may be a weariness because they're doing it all alone, we need to join along their side and help them to worship and praise God, because the Amalekites were defeated that day. The beauty about it was that all these horses and chariots were defeated by praise and worship and trusting that a living God will stop the enemy in his tracks. Amen. I want to say to your spirit today that if you'll just believe God, God will stop the enemy in his tracks, and you will not have such fear in your life. Yeah. And fear will be replaced with faith. Faith, believing that God will bring it together. He's not going to let you off somewhere in the corner and say, see you later, you didn't have enough faith. But he does not want you to be destroyed, so you're really in a good position with God. Because God is saying to you, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to be there for you. I'm asking you to do one thing. Believe in me. Me being God of Israel. Believe in Jehovah God. Trust in God. So faith has a witness, Jesus Christ. Secondly, the testimonies of faith. It is amazing when you read the book of Hebrews 11, and you see in that chapter, in chapter 11, the history, the chronological history of faith from creation all the way in time. You see this amazing faith that these people had, that they went through, and the things that they suffered to continue in faith. And then right after that, we go right into verse 12 of Hebrews 12, verse 1, excuse me, of Hebrews 12, and we find that there is this statement that the many clouds of witnesses that surround us, speaking of these people that followed Jesus Christ, that had already gone on to the eternal promise, even though they never received the promise of what God had spoken them to have, it became generational. Now, I'm going to speak on generations in a minute, so I want you to hang on to that, because there is a generations out there that are floating outside the kingdom of God because the church hasn't responded to pouring into the generation after them the faith and the knowledge of God's word. We've done really good in complaining, gossiping, judging, and being jealous. Instead of being happy, joyful, faithful, and telling everybody how wonderful it is to be saved. Amen. These testimonies, they're a journey that we can follow in Hebrews 11. And we can find out that no matter what happens, these folks stayed faithful. Moses was offered something that is amazing, and I really don't know too many people today that wouldn't have accepted what Moses was offered. He was offered the pleasures of sin, the beauty of the kingdom of Egypt, prestige, honor, brand new clothes, anointing oil from the finest spices. He would be worshipped. He would be second in command next to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh gave him all that he needed. Everything was offered him. He wouldn't have a day of poverty in his life. He wouldn't have a day where he was hungry. He could have anything he wanted just by the asking of men. But he decided to suffer instead of be involved with the pleasures of sin. Somewhere the church is not doing that any longer, and I'll get on that in a moment, so be prepared. I'm going to switch from pastoral to evangelist just in a minute. But however, we have to understand that thirdly, there is the announcement of a witness that has gone through faith and has had a word that we miss somewhere. I'm looking for it every once in a while. I keep looking, maybe it's under here, it's somewhere, but it's a word called endurance. Instead of the word, I'm so tired, I'm weary, nothing's really happening. Endurance, getting to where you know you need to get because God has said, get there. Go there. There's a promise that belongs to you. It's your promise. It's got your personal stamp on it. But you say, well, Pastor, you just told us that there are people that got that same thing, but they died, but they never gave up on the promise. And the generation after them picked up the baton of faith and kept moving forward with what they believed. Instead of saying, oh, I didn't get the promise. Let me tell you something. If I could preach, and if I pass out and die preaching, if I go into life in, from this life into heaven and preach, and I don't see the fulfillment of what I know God has promised me that would happen, I know that I have preached the word of God into people's hearts and souls and into their minds, that they will continue on with that baton of faith, that promise will come about. Praise God. Amen. We need to understand that there is a faith that's alive in us, that's powerful. It's real. It's so huge in us. It's an everyday affair with God. It's an everyday conversation with God. It's an everyday prayer with God. You know, I the other day, you know, I never did this in my life before. I've always walked and prayed, and I've always, you know, woke up in the morning and said something to the Lord. And and still do. You know, and I always pray before I go to bed at night. I read about 300 names, and you're on that list every night before I go to sleep at night, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I call out your name and ask God to bless you every night. All your children, your husbands, your, you know, all the brand new babies and everything, you know. And when the Holy Spirit gives me a name, I'll go ahead and type that name in right away. I've got them broken down as Church of God leadership, State Council leadership, Hope for the Bay, the Potter's Hand. Then I got folks that used to pastor this church are on the list. And I got people all over California that I know and across this nation, they're on the list. Just pray out their name. Again, God does not need a long paragraph. We got God thinking he needs long paragraphs. He does not. When I say pray for Janae Woodall and for Richard Woodall, I always put Richard first because I believe the man should be the head of the household. I put Richard first, then I put Janae, and then I say Susanna Silva, and then I say Courtney Woodall, and I say these names and praise God, and I don't go on and say, oh, you know, go through this list of what's wrong with them. I don't know what's wrong with them, but I know that God does. I don't know what their needs are, but God does. You know, I don't know exactly what's going on in their life, except that God does, you know. I mean, when I pray for Eva, I do understand that I have to say, put a smile on her face, because it's important that she smiles, you know. And when I pray for Becky, God sneezes. I don't know what that one means. I keep asking God, what is a sneeze for? And he goes, talk to you later, you know. But anyhow, but for some reason, when I pray for Joanne Irons, God goes, who? But I don't know what's happening, you know, what's going on. But I do believe that God is very involved with what he has for our life. Now, when I pray for Mark and Matthew, I know which their faces looks like today. You say, Pastor, you've been pastoring here 3 years, and next Sunday we'll complete our third full year and move into our fourth year. Okay? But today I said, which one is Mark? And I heard that they like to fool around with folks, you know. And they must talk about it at night, you know. We're pretty bored. Let's tell you be Mark, I'll be Matthew. Okay, and they can do this. So I heard about this. And so basically I said, which one's Mark? And one of them said, I am. And then the other, you know, and I kind of had a feeling something's up here, you know. So I said, I'll give you a dollar if you tell me the truth. And man, Mark just jumped up and said, I'm Mark. So I went to my office and I got a dollar, handed it to him, and Matthew goes, well, I was part of that. So I went and got the other dollar and gave it to him. And then I got a snapshot and found out how I could tell the difference between the two. So now when I pray, I'll have their face on it right there. God, I want you to touch Mark and Matthew. Amen. I pray for Marilyn Milton every night. Pray for your children. Pray for Ed Milton. Amen. Every night. I pray for the Wiley family. I pray for everybody in this church. I just, Diane and Paul, I just pray for them. I pray for everybody in the church and go on. I pray for Madison and Logan, Brandon. Praise God. I call out their names. And Brandon and Logan don't even live here, man. They're getting prayed for. You see, what I'm saying here is, I'm not saying look at Dennis Adams. Listen, I'm just a guy that fell in love with God. That's all, you know. I'm the guy that ran down the aisle. Here's my tithe! You know, so what I'm trying to say to you is that I'm still that excited young guy who gets a kick out of hanging out with God. Amen. What I'm trying to do is be an example to the church that if they go on into generation, they can show that excitement of faith. I'll be honest, I've never seen Jesus. But I know he's existing because I see him in you. Amen. I know I'm saved because I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm brand new. Old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. God calls me friend. That excites me. I get a kick out of that. And I love that song, Show Me Your Glory, because I'm not afraid. Listen, I am not afraid to stand in the glory of God because I want God so much. But we have a cloud of witnesses that are around us, that are watching us.
I'm not trying to be over spiritual here. But maybe they're up there rooting us on this morning. That's the way to worship. That's it. God's, he's looking at you. Yeah. Or maybe they're up there and somebody's saying, you know, I don't know, you know, and they're going, no, 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 don't talk like that. Say, you know, it's okay. We're going to make it. Yay. Amen. God is really wanting to see each and every one of you so full of faith that he can respond to you every moment of every day and touch your life, heal your body. You know, don't put up with the pain. Pray to be healed. Don't put up with poverty. Pray to be prospered. Don't put up with spiritual deafness and a blinded eye spiritually. Pray that God would open up your eyes to the Word. And when you hear the Word, revelation would come into your spirit. Don't say, God, I'm so tired of everybody across the other aisle. They're getting blessed and I'm just sitting here. God doesn't want to hear that prayer. What he wants to hear is, God, what do you have for me? I am ready. And the witnesses of heaven, and I'm sure if I can spiritualize here just for a moment, I'm going, yeah, yeah, amen. I think it's important that we look at this and we see how important it is that we have this faith in our life and we are understanding what God wants us to do. But we have to have endurance. And I want to take a moment just to kind of give you an example here before I really begin to preach. And I want to ask if I can have Alex up here. Could you come up? Ben, could you come up here for a moment? I want to show you something. And Mark, come on up here. Come on, man. I know which one you are now. You ain't going to fool me. I got my buck. I got an investment. Come up here. Come up here. Come on, Mark. Come on. Now we want to do this right. Stand up on top of the top step. Keep going. Keep going. Top step. Keep going. All right. There you go. You know, I like what Eva sang this morning. Yes, Holy Spirit. I'm just joking. But anyhow, that about the burden. Putting your burden down. I like that. It was good. She didn't know what I was preaching, but that's what I'm talking about. So I'm going to shift into an evangelist gear right now. So if you get offended, blame the evangelist. Call the pastor and I'll pray with you. Okay? Listen to me. The church loves to carry her burdens. Loves to carry her sin. There's a generation out there that is watching the church after they read the Bible of a God of joy and truth, and they're seeing a church sad and lying. Now, don't misunderstand me. I love all sorts of gatherings of people. I love going to large gatherings where there's different types of faith because I believe that we're all one in Christ. I believe that. Not everybody may not see everything as sound doctrinally as I see them. Maybe they think that they would say the same thing about me. But we are together in Christ. I mean, we got some wild, crazy Pentecostals, and we got what we labeled years ago crazymatics. We got hypersensationalists in the body of Christ. We got all sorts of stuff. But isn't it amazing everybody's centered around Jesus Christ? Amen. But the church gets to the... I love going to these conferences. I think it's great. But I often wondered why people go to conferences, get happy, get back to church, and they come into the church, and they last about 2 days, and they're sad again. That anointing goes with you no matter where you go. Here's the situation, and I'm going to show you something here right now, okay? Let me show you that there is a running that we need to do, okay? There is a running of a race that we need to do, okay? Not just walking. We shall walk and not faint, you know, we shall run and not become weary. Understand what the scripture says? Paul says, run the race to win. I understand what the scripture says, but we need endurance. And we need to lay aside the sins that so easily beset us. You know, I used to smoke cigarettes. I used to be a big time cigarette smoker. Huge. But it's a sin. It is a sin to smoke cigarettes. And I was there at a conference, and David Wilkerson was preaching in a conference, and he preached on this scripture about the besetting sins against the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost showed me my pack of cigarettes, and I quit that moment. The devil comes next day in the form of a man to my van, knocks on the van, wants to smoke a cigarette in the van I just quit the night before. He comes in, he pulls out, not a cigarette, he pulls out one of them. Remember when the Virginia Slims came out? Those things were like 50,000 feet long. Well, he pulled out one of those. I think it hung outside the van window, you know. And he smoked it. I thought, okay, that's all right. I'm kind. I'm saved now. Okay? I'm all right. Christians would do this. He gets done with one. He gets done with it. He opens up and smokes another one. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to be patient and long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit, as little as I knew about Christianity at that point. Then he pulls out a third one, and he goes ahead, and he smokes that one down. And about this time, the Holy Spirit says, I haven't spoke to you much, but this is what I'm going to say to you right now, because you're in for a life of me speaking to you. And I said, speak. He said, you haven't testified of what I did for you yesterday. I was putting up with this guy and not testifying. And you know, when I, you're going to love me for this, I know, and pray I don't edit this out of the message. But when I got saved, you know, I was really into marijuana. And really huge. Really huge into marijuana. And when I got saved, I had a bag of marijuana with me in a car. And instead of taking it to the bathroom and dumping it out and flushing the toilet, my friend was with me who wasn't a Christian. This is what I did. I just got saved, man. Here's my pot. I'm free. You can have it now. And we do this in Christianity all the time. That's not why you're up here, by the way. Speak. Hallelujah. But there it is. And so the bottom line is this. Is that I gave away what was a burden to me to somebody else to carry that burden. We do that in Christianity to other people. We pour our load on them and we walk away free and they're sitting there with your load. Are you with me? Am I ministering this morning? I'm telling you right now, somebody's taking me to lunch. I'm just saying to you, we just need to understand that God is in this church and wants us to be so full of faith that when He comes in, we're ready for Him and He's going to bless us for what we're ready for. He'll never bless us with what we're not ready for.
Right.
Where is that in the scripture? Egypt, Israel, God took them around the other way, the Bible says, because they were not ready for warfare. They weren't ready yet for what He had for them. It proved that when they got to the promised land in Numbers 13, that when they went in there, they weren't ready for what God had said. Now listen to what He said. Listen to what He said, church. Listen to this spiritually. He said, I am giving you this land. I have given it to you, and you'll receive it little by little. It is yours. Go in. It's already yours. You own it. And they weren't ready for it because their faith was not in God. It was still in horses and chariots. But see, what we do is we also sin in church. Generations now we have gone on, and we used to be a church that didn't sin. We used to be a church that was so against sin. We would not do the thing. We wouldn't put up with the things. We wouldn't do it. But see, we have allowed sin to come into the church, and we see generations not attending church because the church is no different than the world. No different. And if we keep going the way we're going, you know, it's going to be where you're going to see people. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't love. You should love everybody. And show love to everybody. Be kind to everybody. But don't hesitate on sharing God's word. And I love, now, Will didn't know what I was speaking either today. Did you? There's no darkness in God. Light and darkness can't dwell together. So if the church is not living right in faith before God and allowing sin to be in their life and coming to church and worshiping God, guess what? Who is not there? No, I'm not going to pour it on me, I promise.
I thought it, you read it. But then I remembered I got to go to a big church gathering tonight. So let me tell you, let me show you something here.
I want you to get on my back here. Get on like a piggyback. Come on, don't be afraid. Just jump on there. Come on. You see, I can go like this, and I can run around the church and do all sorts of things, and I can just do that. But, you know, I got sin on me right now. Man, I got a burden on me. I got some secret things going on. Maybe I gossip too much. Maybe I talk too much behind people's back. Maybe I judge people. Whatever it may be, you know, I just, you know what I'm saying? And I could run up the aisle and down the aisle and do all sorts of, you know, great things. And I'm going to take a little run right now. Actually, I can run with him. Yeah, there you go. See, I can do this. Praise God. Hallelujah. You put the round of God's word and walk. Amen. Yeah. You know, and I can do that. I get a little tired. Look at Miriam and Rachel. Look at me. Oh, my God. That's my brother you got. Whoa. Man, I could run up the stairs, back down the stairs. I could do all sorts of things. But after a while, I can't run as fast. Yeah. If I put him down, I can't run as fast as I normally could. You know, coming down that aisle, hallelujah. You know, glory to God. Heaven, that preach out there. You know, what do you think? I'm a little winded. But I feel light. I ran the race. Come on, man.
I'll pick you up.
Oh! 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 Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm not running the aisle with this one. But this is how some Christians are. They got such sin and burden in their life, they can't run it anymore. They started off with a little light guy over there. Amen. You know, they start, somebody says, pinch you, see if you're alive. Oh, oh, woo, oh, I got a Pentecostal on my back. My point being, is that he's getting heavy. That burden, that sin gets heavy. I'm going to tell you this. When I was younger, I would do it. Don't get on, but just look at the difference here. Okay? After a while, it gets to be so burdensome, so full of sin, you can't even run your race anymore, and you stop going to church. Go ahead and wrap your arms around me. I love you, brother. Now see, if I try to lean forward, he's not letting me lean forward. See, I want to get rid of him. I want to get rid of him. You're not letting me go. Sin don't want to let you go. Wants you all bound up, because he knows it's too heavy for you. And you're not going to be able to go to church with it. You're not going to go anywhere with it, because it's all over with. So you gotta just say in the name of Jesus, get off of me. Because I can't move without you. I can't move without you. Sin's no good. I mean, you know, we get so thought of it in the sense that, you know, we have this little sense, well, this one I can reason out and this one I can't. You cannot reason out sin. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And if we don't tell a generation that there is a faith that we need to have, a sinless faith before God. And here's the key. You say, oh, preacher, it's, you know, sometimes I just sin. Well, yeah, but you have an advocate. Yes. In heaven, Jesus Christ. Don't wait 2 years to call him. If you're having a struggle, call him and throw that sin off.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
praise God. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Amen. We have a generation coming up that has no idea the differentiation against sin and holiness. They don't see it the same way. They just believe that it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to live in sin. It's not okay to gossip. It's not okay to judge. It's not okay to be sinister. It's not okay to be divisive. It's not okay to be jealous. It's not okay to smoke cigarettes. It's not okay to smoke pot. It's not okay to do drugs. It's not okay to drink alcohol. It's not okay to be in porn. It's not okay to be in all sorts of lustful sins. It's not okay to be out there in the world and conniving and manipulating and trying to take from the world all you can get before the world takes from you. Let me tell you something. It's not okay. God can handle your business. Give Him your burden. Give Him your sins. He'll set you free. You'll cross that river. The river will separate. You'll walk on dry ground. And when it tries to follow, He will swallow it up because you have faith in God. Yeah. Jesus suffered so much that we could be in church today. He took that pain so we could say we're Christians. He didn't take the pain so we could look at the church down the road and say, well, that's another type of a Pentecostal church. And I don't really believe in some of the stuff they teach, so I don't think you ought to go there. Or I don't like them. I love what Jesus said. The disciples said, Jesus, we saw some people that weren't like us and they were casting out demons in your name. And we stopped them and Jesus said, no. If they confess my name, they are part of me. I tell you, when you get this in your spirit, things get better. You're not all tight and bound up. You can worship. You can go to church. You can feel good about your relationship with people. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that your gift will make room for itself. You know, when they said in a statement in the corporate world and in the business world, they say, cream will always float to the top. That's where they got it. Okay? Your gift will make room for itself in the church. It will. Because the Word says it. And if the Word says it, I have faith that it will happen. Well, men will not let me. Well, you know what? God will remove the men. I must be preaching great, man. Joanne's looking so upset right now. I'm telling you what, I'm loving this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, my wife said, don't pick on you. I am so sorry that I'm going to disobey my wife. Never relax your faith. Don't put your faith on vacation, in other words. You know, when you go on vacation, some people take their faith and they put it on vacation. They say, well, I'm on vacation. I'm not going to be a Christian on vacation. That's the best place to be a Christian, on vacation, to where you can go, yeah, here I am, you know, there's somebody over there. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to be happy. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be so happy. My face is going to hurt because I'm grinning. I'm feeling so good about God. I'm worshiping God no matter where I'm at and how good I feel. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul was explaining the matter of faith, he was talking about him being a witness. Paul himself was so involved with what was going on, he literally believed that what he said to Timothy would come together. And listen to what he said. When I call to remembrance in 2 Timothy 1, verses 5 through 7, he said, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first, now here it is, in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice,
two generations prior to you getting it, their genuine faith was imparted into you. The church needs to impart faith into people. By the laying on of hands, by a life through prayer, living a life of faith before them so they can see that there is something real in God. He's not a picture on the wall. And when you say you're a Christian and you're out there sinning, you're out there in a bar, you're out there rolling a doobie and you're smoking a big fat one before work and you're feeling like, I'm saved, man. And your boss says, I thought you went to church. And you go, oh, yeah, I do. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm feeling it right now, by the way. You know, and you know, you can go all through that stuff. And let me tell you something. That's sinning and that is not being a Christian. When you're telling dirty jokes on the job or you're looking at another human being lustfully, that is not being a Christian. Those thoughts will come into your mind. You need to say, sanctify my mind, Jesus. I rebuke you, devil, get out of my mind. Don't be like the guy who got $20 back from giving $10 to the Taco Bell and went to church and stood up and testified how God blessed him that day. That's stealing. Go back and make sure that person keeps their job. It's so important that we do this, that we live a life that's real and holy and right and full of the power of God and the anointing of God. That when God looks at you from heaven, when he looks down, he says, that is my faithful child who cares so much, is willing to put themselves aside for the wholesomeness and life of another individual. Oh, I know what the Bible says, and we all think it's, you know, it's the greatest love that anybody could ever have is to lay their life down for somebody else. And I understand what that scripture says, and it's true. But let's spiritualize it. It means also when you could live a life and lay it down, your life down, that somebody else would know Jesus, that you could put down your fleshly aspirations and desires, and you can put down your mouth that uses bad language. Amen. I had a guy cuss the other day, outwardly cuss in my ministry. I understand his frustration. I understand that he's going through some stuff. And I understand he says he's a Christian. I understand that. But he said some really foul word. And then he reasoned it out and said, I can do that. So I went home and I got Ephesians 4:29 and read it on your own. The Bible says, don't let any corruptible thing come out of your mouth. You can't do that. You can't cuss. You can't use our Lord's name in vain. Don't use the words that start with letters I'm not going to say because I don't want everybody to think those words. I'm not going to say it. Stop thinking it. Let me tell you right now. Don't do it. Be good. Don't be at school, kids, and think it's okay to give someone a sign that shouldn't be held up with your hand. There's a group in Santa Cruz that says it's okay. Because you're not giving them that anymore. You're giving them the dove. Because in certain towns, in certain areas, it say you're flipping the bird. So it's okay to do it because you're giving them the dove. Can you imagine? Can you picture Jesus doing that? No. No. There's churches that believe that you can fix Jesus. That you can tote Jesus. You can snort Jesus. That's how you get him in you. You understand? There is some weird stuff out there. And the church is like going, oh, okay. Man, stand up and say, that is not right. It's wrong. It doesn't work. Sensationalism is not for men. If God wants sensationalism, he'll put the parade on. Are you with me?
Yep.
We have to understand that we don't want to get comfortable in our religion at all. What we want to do is we want to get stirred up by our relationship with Jesus. Let me go on and say this, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind or a disciplined mind. We don't have fear. We have love and we have power. Power of the Holy Ghost. The devil starts to knock on your door, don't answer it. If the devil breaks in the window, kick him out. If the devil tries to get you to sin, say, I don't follow you, I follow Jesus. If you don't know how to do that, this is how you get rid of the devil. Open up your Bible and start reading the book. Use his name. The Bible says this. Even the demons fear and tremble and flee at the name of Jesus. We have to grab a hold of this. It's so important that we know that we have to work with God and we have to understand that what we have is something that needs to be renewed day by day in our life.
Right.
Through prayer and through Bible reading and through relationships and building up one another. The Bible says, build up one another in the faith. Build each other up in the faith. Consider another better than yourself. Get the burden off today. Get the sin off. Get the weight off your shoulders. God doesn't want you to carry it, but he's not going to come down and lift it off you because you're holding on to it. I mean, I could run with Mark and I could walk a little bit with Alex, but there's no way that I could go anywhere with Ben on my back. We're looking at Pop Warner to the NFL. In other words, I could probably win in a Pop Warner football game at 63 years old. I may be able to get a touchdown in the JV game, maybe. I'll get bruised and hurt, but I may be able to reach that line, given if I get a break. But in NFL, no. When I went from JV, and I'm going to close now. When I went from JV in high school, I played football at St. Joe Prep in Bardstown, Kentucky. And I went there, and we used to have to run up and down hills in our full equipment in Kentucky humid weather. You know, I thought the coach was definitely demonic, but I remember they said that day, all right, you guys, you've practiced hard. We're going up and we're going to play the varsity today. And I thought, oh, praise God, this is great. So I was the front lineman down there, you know, and defense and I played linebacker. And then in this particular point, I got to play linebacker and I was there and all of a sudden, they snapped the ball, and the ball started coming. The guy got it, and I saw the thing, and I got through the line. I grabbed him, and I tanked. I gave him an ankle tackle, and he tripped, and I thought pretty good about myself. JV got to tackle a V-man, varsity. Took him down with just... So then, they put me back a little further. I was playing middle linebacker now. And they had a guy on this team that was one of the best in Kentucky playing. He went to our school. He lived out in New Haven, Kentucky. And you got to understand, these Southern guys are Southern guys. And they're big guys there in Kentucky. So I'm living on the grab the ankle tackle man. And I'm back there middle linebacker. And I see him. They give a reverse, you know, give it to the one guy, and he comes around, takes it to the other way, and he comes around that end, and man, I'm coming right at him, and I'm thinking, you've had it, man, and the next thing I know, he's in the touchdown area, and I'm flat on my back thinking, what just happened? Be careful.
Don't try to play with something you can't win against. And without God, hear me, you'll not defeat the devil. At all. He'll take you down, your family down, your relatives down, and everybody he can take down. But when you get God in the picture, he's going to back off. He'll try to trick you. He's going to back off. I tried to watch a TV show the other night. You know, I'm a guy that likes TV shows. So there was a show that came on called Sleepy Hollow. And I thought, well, that's cool. It's an old story a long time ago. And I would read it in grade school. And I thought, okay, I'm going to read Headless Horseman. It's an old fable. It's a story. It's a, you know, great. Okay. They have changed it into being a demonic show. I mean, I thought I was watching The Alien. In human form, this guy rose from the dead with no head that started to grow out the back of it. I'm going, you know what I did? Click. I went over and got the other clicker, and I went to delete all, and I deleted every one of those. And the next day, I told my wife, I'm not watching that show. So I covered all the grounds. I didn't keep it a secret. I said, I'm not watching that show. I tried to watch a show called The Following. My goodness gracious. There was more murder and mayhem and witchcraft and demonic powers and that thing and cultish. I went, click, click, click. It's done. So I went over to Netflix and I'm watching all the kids' shows now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to read what the Lord had me write out to close, a paragraph. Faith does not stand still. It is active and fluid in its design to bring response from the Lord our God. Every person should be speaking faith and living out their faith in God. The testimony to the next generation should be that of a positive application to an intrinsic value of God's promise and his eternal word, which will never pass away. Faith brings an exciting life and life that lives out that faith that has been measured out by God in each individual. I want to challenge you today. Live by faith in God. Live by faith in God. And I trust that when you do that, God will bring into your life something that is so powerful that